Yeah.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. I need another day off, I think.
We were not ready to come back.
No. But I'm ready to be back. Welcome, Michael Dressel, to our podcast with MD Insurance here in the DFW area. So glad to have you. Man, I just came alive, didn't I? Just plugged it in. Boom, I'm a whole different person than I was. So we're so glad that you're here. I can't wait to learn about you and your profession, your career, what makes you amazing. Thanks for joining us today, man. I'm sure you had a bunch of other things you could possibly do on a Monday, but you chose to be here with us. So awesome. I'm Alex. I've got my team with me here today. I've got Kara Thomas.
Hey, everybody.
I've got Caitlin Ullman.
Hello.
We're fired up today. Man, we had a great lunch. We went to Perry's next door. Took forever, but we got our food eventually.
Food was delicious.
Yeah, and it was good.
Delicious. Well, Michael, tell us a little bit about you, man. What's your sign? What's your favorite pizza topping? Anything you want to share? What's your favorite color?
Blue, I guess.
Blue, you guess.
I haven't been asked that question in a long time.
Mine's orange, I think. I don't know.
You think?
Yeah. As soon as I answered it, yeah, it's because of the belt.
It's the belt.
Yeah. Did y'all look at y'all's shirts before y'all said that?
Oh.
No.
Orange and he's wearing blue.
That's ironic. What's your favorite color? Black.
Yellow.
Yellow's cool.
I like the color yellow.
Would you get a yellow car?
It's a happy color. No.
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 Okay. Didn't I ask you about a yellow car when I'm pointing?
Don't, yes. Don't you like and lime green and like all those crazy.
I would don't do all those crazy colors. Like I think red for sure and yellow. They have higher
chance of getting
insurance
caught.
Rates and stuff too. Because of the color.
Yeah. If I had a nice car, a Ferrari, that's my dream car, I'd probably get a yellow.
Yeah.
Or orange or something.
Yellow's a good color.
Mm-hmm. Red.
I saw a yellow Corvette.
Red would be cool.
Driving down the street the other day is freaking awesome.
Black's good.
At least none of y'all said gray. Gray's dumb, I think.
Ouch.
If it's done right.
My car is like a gunmetal.
It has to have like the certain shade.
No, like
of gray.
The sweatpants in gray.
Oh no.
And you know how like that's women swoon gray. Over it and they just can't even resist.
It's an ugly gray.
I think it's gray.
It is ugly. It is an ugly gray.
Yeah.
Ugly.
Yeah.
And plus get up and put clothes on.
Right?
Michael, what would you be your favorite car of choice if you could?
Well, the car for that has black is the Mercedes sports car. I don't remember what it's called right now, but yeah, it's like two door. It's really nice, but that all has to be black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mercedes are cool.
Yep.
My parents have two.
Are they older or are they newer ones?
They're older.
See, if I was getting a Mercedes, I get the fully stocked future looking, like it's like, you know,
I don't know what car, like a spaceship. I don't know what kind of Mercedes Marchese has, but that's a nice car. That's a nice car. It is a Mercedes coupe. It has a sunroof. It's nice.
Mm. Now my ideal car is a Nissan Maxima.
Okay.
Ooh, those
are
nice
cars.
But
it's an old school one because I had one that got messed up by hail damage and I had to tumble it out. I was sad that day.
Wow. I'm about to retire Kia. Not anytime soon, but when I do, I'm going to switch to Audi. Like the sport, the fast ones.
That's nice.
I was looking for. What's your dream car?
My dream car?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, growing up, I always wanted a 66 Fastback Mustang. That's what I wanted. And my mom
you used to be
somebody.
A truck person.
Yeah, I used to drive a Dodge Ram 1500. Mm-hmm. Loved my truck. Got married and had babies, and the car seats like wouldn't fit in the seats properly, so I had to get rid of my truck.
Yeah.
And now I drive a Honda Pilot,
it's
and
a
I
bummer.
Love it.
I used to be a truck gal, too. Mm-hmm. My very first vehicle was a 2002 extended cab GMC. Sierra.
Nice.
Had like a lift kit and everything on it. I love that truck so much. But then it got like 8 miles to the gallon, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm.
That's a hard knock life for a 16-year-old.
I got 11 on the highway in my truck.
Yeah. Now I'm all about the. And then I got that truck because I didn't want a car. My parents were like, we're going to buy you a car. And I was like, I don't want a freaking car.
No,
I want a truck.
I wanted a car. My mom goes, hell no.
Well,
you are driving a truck.
I went from a truck to a car. And it was a Nissan. I'm a big fan of Nissan. I had a Nissan Altima forever. I had a couple of them.
That's what happens with me with Kia. I've owned 5 Kias.
Yeah. I'm a big Nissan gal. I drive a Jeep Grand Cherokee now, but it is a gas guzzler, and I wish I wouldn't have got it.
Well, and right now we're a Honda family.
I've never met anybody that loves their Jeep Grand Cherokee.
I wanted one so bad.
They all wanted one so bad.
Now that I have one, I'm like, I hate this car.
Mm-hmm. That's all I've heard.
It's got the bells and the whistles. It's got the leather interior, the sunroof. It's nice. It's a nice car, but the gas mileage is shit.
I drive a Kia Stinger, the twin turbo V6. That thing picks up. I like it.
We're a Honda family right now. She has a Pilot. I have an Accord that I'm giving to my daughter for her birthday in a month. And then she's 16, so that's not.
Yeah.
And then I got a Honda CR-V 2009 from my mother because she no longer can drive.
I don't think they make the Kia Soul anymore, right? The box one?
I hope not.
That's the one I wanted to give to my kids.
Ew. No. Why?
That is so ugly.
Those are so ugly cars.
I think they're cool.
The little box cars.
Yeah, the little box cars. No. Yeah, I think those are cool. So, well, Michael, tell us a little bit about what you do for your profession every day that you get up to go to work. What does that look like for you?
Well, I primarily do companies, and I do something that most agents that do what I do don't do for companies. So I do self-insurance for small businesses, which basically what that means is pulling people or companies off of Obamacare that's so high, because normally the rate is about at least $500 per employee and $1,500 for families, up to $1,000, maybe up to $2,000. And so what I do is I pull companies off of that marketplace because all businesses and individuals are all under that one giant umbrella of Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody has cancer, heart, or anything of those kind of things is in that same bucket with a small business.
Right.
So if I pull them off and put them on self-insurance, it's about 50 to 60% lower rates. So you're talking about $200 to $300 for employee and less than $1,000 for families.
So you don't work with individuals, right? You work with companies, right? So
primarily companies.
So he's in the process, like we work with Julie Sears right now because we're so small. But then there's a point in which, and this is what she's described to me, there's a point in which we'll max out working with her. And right. She'll actually offload us to someone like Michael. Now, I'm sure you know Julie Sears pretty well, right?
I do.
So that's the way she's described it to us. I'd love to get your point of view.
Actually, I can go down to two lives on it. And it's through like United Healthcare and Aetna. So it's not a crazy carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And what she does is private. She's basically selling to individuals within the company.
Right.
What I do is I take the company address and the census of the company, the zip codes and everything, and put it under one umbrella. So it's underwritten as a giant plan.
Hmm.
So the underwriting is actually smoother and it's easier, especially for United Healthcare, because I'm getting crazy rates on it because of the fact that even with a condition, they want to know, is it treatable? Are you getting right the right treatment? So it's no longer a no-go. It's where are you doing what you're supposed to do as far as treating your condition? So like perfect examples, of course, we talked about pregnancy earlier. I had a lady that was in her third trimester. Well, United Healthcare said no on that because they were worried she had a premature situation. Well, she didn't, but they said, well, we're not going to go forward. But anybody else, first, second trimester, existing pregnancy, no problem.
Right.
So things like that. And then a lady that I had was doing the underwriting process, and she treated herself rather than actually getting a doctor to treat her. And then United Healthcare is like, no, you can't treat yourself with over-the-counter medications.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that that are crazy that I get are no-go, but normally the rates don't move at all as far as how the rates maneuver as far as the underwriting. So it's usually about 300 to 400 employee, and so companies like that, because you're talking about a company, their exposure is 50% of the base plan offered, so you're talking about $150 a pop
right.
for an employee, which is great for them.
That's crazy. Yeah, he's seen just a lot of people in finance or health. They know their numbers so well, better than I would possibly. You know, what is the amount of continuing education that you have to undergo? Just every single quarter, months.
It's 30 hours per year, but you have to keep. In addition to the CEs, the CEs are outdated information. In all honesty,
mm-hmm.
So people are asking me about the upcoming election,
right?
And I'm like,
nobody's making new CE courses.
No. So I'm on the upcoming.
It's like a job video, you know, like back in your first job. Well, you're 25, right? How old are you, Caitlin? 26?
27.
Yeah, I'm 40. So my first job was like a VHS tape, right? It was all like grainy. It was like, well, welcome to safety and how to use a knife. And so I imagine that's what the continuing education courses are like.
My first job, because I'm 51, was I was the at Blockbuster Video renting movies. And I became an assistant manager for Blockbuster Video.
Nice, which was a big deal.
Yeah. Yes,
Caitlin, do you know what Blockbuster is?
I do. I'm actually old enough to know. I've been to a Blockbuster a few times.
She's seen a meme or two is what she means.
No, I have to remind my sister. She's 29. And I'm like, you remember Blockbuster? And she's like, I mean, the game?
No. It's an actual store, and I do remember. I was old enough.
Did you rent movies from there?
Yeah, my dad used to take me all the time. There was one. So I used to live in Decatur, and there was one on the main street of whatever it is, 51, right across the street from Walmart.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. The old Blockbuster.
I'm young, but like I'm old at the same time, you know?
The old Blockbuster near my house is now like a children's health emergency care.
Yeah.
Next to Starbucks. That's no longer there. The Starbucks.
The building that used to be a Blockbuster indicator. I think they tore it down and rebuilt like a shopping center there. So it's like a nail salon and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, there's only
a dentist office.
There's only one left and it's in Oregon. And you can do a B&B. Like you can go and stay in the Blockbuster video.
Oh, that's cool. That's kind of cool.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I've seen that too. Yeah, I've seen that too. That's a lot of fun. My first job was the Drug Emporium in Louisville. You remember that store, Kara? It was where Half Price Books is, that area.
There is still a Drug Emporium in Denton.
Nope, it's gone.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. That's the only one that I remember. I mean,
that place was so old. You had to scan, you had to tag everything with the sticker with the price. And manually like create the, so it was like $1.40, like a dollar period. So then you do that. And then when you'd ring it up, you had to punch in the amount and then select tax or no tax. So all these old people, old women would come in and they'd be like, you charged me tax on my bananas. And they would just lose it.
That sounds like a horrible first job.
And I was like 16 or 17 years old. So because nothing was scanned back then, we would basically steal all the Snickers ice cream, and they never tracked it, so they were just always out of Snickers ice cream.
And they're they never asked where it went.
Well, they never could. They didn't have any way. There was no cameras. There was no barcode system. It was all just numbers and decimal points.
Interesting. You heard it here first, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Alex is a Snickers ice cream theft.
That's why we never had them at Drug Emporium. Eventually, we'd have them, but then we'd just take them again.
I remember. In 2 days.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, have no idea why. Days. Yeah. No, yeah. I remember Sack and Save.
Sack and Save? Yeah. That place is stupid. Why would you sack your own? You still got to sack your own groceries.
Yeah. Have you been to Winco?
I like Winco.
They make you sack your own groceries. Well, I mean, when I shop at Walmart, I got to sack my own groceries there too. So, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. What was your last job before you got into MD Insurance?
So my last job would have been actually Blockbuster Video. I left to go to college. And so I was going to college.
Wow. So you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
I went
to college.
To do what?
I was studying to be a Southern Baptist preacher.
Wow.
And so I got married stupidly because she's an ex-wife. And notice I said an ex-wife. So I have two of those.
At what point did you realize that maybe being a preacher wasn't the right career path for you?
That Southern Baptist and divorce doesn't go
together. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. So you're like, never mind.
But I had to support her. And so we were at East Texas Baptist University out in Marshall, Texas. And so I was like, I got to support my wife. And so she's going into nursing. I'll drop out. And I went to get a job. So I got a job as a claims processor with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas. And built my way up from there to membership and membership to management. And then in 08, I moved to Dallas to be in what they call the customer consultant role, which basically is troubleshooting for the large broker agencies like me, like Marsh McLennan, you know, all those kind of agencies.
That's cool.
And in 2010, when Obamacare happened, they pulled money away from customer service and more toward product development. And so I was like, okay, my background is customer service, so I went to the broker community at that point. So I've been doing the broker side for 13 years and then started my own business during COVID because I was like, why am I keep giving people my advice and not getting paid for it?
Right.
So
that's cool. So, man, I had 25 jobs in my 20s. So I've done a lot of things.
Same.
Yeah. I've done a lot of things. I've valet parked cars. I've sold stuff at gas stations. Worked at restaurants. I got fired from Chili's to go because I couldn't count in my drawer. I think it was 19 or 20. My drawer was always short. And she was like, you know, we're going to have to talk about this. I had no comprehension of anything. I'm 19 years old.
Did y'all know this about him? I mean, he's stealing Snicker bars. His drawer's coming
I'm recently learning that he's a full-blown criminal over here.
No, the drawer situation was a situation because I had tips. I was making tips. So she was like, your drawer's short $4. I'm like, well, here's the $4. And because of the policy, she wouldn't take the money. So she wrote me up.
So I was a bartender. And when you would do the beer tub, that's like cash only. They don't take card.
Right.
Like it's cash only. Okay. And they give you this drawer and they have X amount of dollars in it and some quarters for your change. And like you're on your own. You either need to know how to do math or be very fast with your cell phone calculator whenever you're calculating change and everything. And at the end of the night, I would count my drawer and it would either be over or under. And whatever it was under, I had to take out of my tips to put it in the drawer, which was fine. But get your girl a calculator or something. I'm not good at math. So it was always short.
Yeah. So at Chili's, they don't let you take the cash out of your pocket. When you turn it in, that's like you're like signing off in that moment that it's correct. So I just don't think they liked me because I was bad at that job. I was real bad.
My wife's family is all time, like they're Chili's all over the place. Like her brother worked at Chili's. Her sister worked at Chili's. So yeah, we know the Chili's back and forth, but that was back in, like they've changed their menu. Like the other day, my wife tried to duplicate the old Cadillac fajitas that were really good. She almost made it, but she didn't make it. She did it for me, but it was not good.
I don't understand why restaurants have to change their menu so much. Like, don't fix what isn't broken, okay?
I don't know. Like, Awesome Times, where our chapter is the Awesome Chapter, they have new items all the time. They don't change it, I guess. They just
But add
extra.
Don't take away.
Right. Yeah.
Don't take away.
And that goes back to knowing your numbers. Mm-hmm. So if you have a dish that, like, is flying off the shelf, you don't change that dish. You might do a daily special or something like that to test stuff out.
Like Taco Bell with the Mexican pizza. Stop taking it off the menu. People love it. Why do you take it off the menu? It makes no sense.
Yes, see? I love the Mexican pizza.
I do love the Mexican pizza.
And it's like limited time only.
I'm judged for liking Taco Bell in my family. So
Taco Bell's good.
Yeah,
I don't care who you are.
Taco Bell's good. You like Taco Bell, Kara?
I do.
What's your favorite thing?
My favorite thing? I get their steak quesadilla. Without the creamy jalapeno sauce.
Oh, yep. I love the sauce.
I don't. And then, so I used to get it on the side, right? Because my ex-husband used to like dip it, right? He used to eat it with everything. Now they charge you 49 cents to put it on the side.
Oh, God.
So now I'm just like, no sauce, please.
I like their power menu bowls. Those are good. Okay. And the cheesy gordita crunch. That ranch that they put on those cheesy gordita crunches is just so good.
They have like the breakfast bowls or whatever. Those were good. I used to get those when I used to work at BioLife on my way into work all the time. That was my breakfast.
I'm a Taco Bell fan.
There's not one near me. There's a KFC. I slapped that hard too.
Yeah. Those, what is it? What is
the $5 bowl? Box. That's what I get.
No, what's the bowl?
I don't know. I get the, see, because I'm a number one with cheese kind of guy.
Original recipe.
I get the same. Yeah, I get the same thing. Like at McDonald's, I get the number 7, the 2 cheeseburgers.
So you have a set menu.
Everywhere
you go,
I go.
So you get the same thing over and over. Yep.
Did you start that when you were 5?
I don't know, and I just never, I never left it. I don't think I've ever even tried a Big Mac, to be honest with you. I always get the number 7 there.
Those McChickens, the spicy McChickens, you add some cheese to that. Oh, it goes hard.
My sister gets those with their mixed sauce. Yeah. Which is essentially like Thousand Island dressing. Ew. And she's like, it's the
best. I didn't even know about the mixed sauce.
No.
It was, I mean, she lives in Oklahoma City now, so I don't know what they've done to her.
No. Gross. Thousand Island dressing is disgusting.
Well, that's what the Big Mac secret sauce is.
That's also what I think In-N-Out's secret sauce is.
I don't like In-N-Out, and I don't like a Big Mac. So there we go.
I get the regular McChicken. And that's it. Like
I add cheese to it. Just add cheese every time. So good.
I'm not huge,
my favorite thing to eat is canned cheese from
The Cheese Whiz?
For the for nachos, like stadium nachos.
Oh, the gourmet nacho cheese.
Yes.
Like the canned, have to pump it out or whatever. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
That's how I make the nachos at home with my kids.
That's what I do too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
pour it on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can even buy like the little like to go plastic containers of it. Put it in the microwave for like 10 seconds and warm that thing up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I buy those too, and then I buy like the I forget what brand they are, but they're like bean and beef burritos at Walmart. I just buy those.
Like the small.
Yeah, they're like this. They're like this big.
Yeah, they come in like a purple bag.
And all the fries you can give me, please.
Me too.
And I just,
you want to know why?
Microwave
can I take your order?
I air fry them, but because it keeps it all crunchy. But no, you know what got me onto those though, is Sonic used to have them.
Oh,
they used to have them, yeah. And I used to get them with like chili and cheese on top.
I'm not close enough to an Allsup's to get their beef and bean burritos. So.
I got one across 35 from me.
Oh yeah, is it still open?
The Allsup's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but those bean and beef burritos are like almost $4 a piece.
Listen, I have never seen an Allsup's go out of business. Mm-mm. Okay, that's a gas station that does not go out of business.
So, Michael, we're talking about all this food that we love, right? Most of it's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. Allsup's gas station, the number 7 at McDonald's. In my personal experience, you know, people's health choices have a lot to do with their coverage, right? And whether they can get coverage or not. So how is that affected by the programs that you guys offer? Because I feel like in a lot of conversations we've had with business owners, that typically seems to be the obstacle they have to overcome.
No, actually, to be honest with you, what you consume, they've kind of given up on, to be honest with you. So UnitedHealthcare actually has a walking program that I actually started doing this year, where if you walk 10,000 steps in a day, you're going to be healthier than if you don't. I mean, and I actually talked to like doctors and things like that, and they said actually walking is one of the healthiest things you can do. And so, and you just have to make I'm not talking about like a generalized walking, but
walk for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Actively, like around track or something. You and I did that once, mm-hmm. and then we never did it again.
Yeah,
I remember
it started raining that mm-hmm. day.
We were like, we're going to be healthy.
Was it the rain or how you felt afterwards that stopped the process?
I think it was just, we just got busy and we forgot.
Yep.
I mean, this dude barely has time to schedule any like chiropractor appointments, doctor appointments.
I used to work at a doctor's office and I was walking 15,000 steps a day.
When I worked at BioLife, I was hitting 25.
Yeah, I was walking like 2 miles a day just in that building in circles all day.
I'm so lazy, I walked next door for lunch, came back.
Yeah, but I made us take the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we take the stairs.
The elevator is not allowed.
Well, and they give you a Fitbit to track it, so mm-hmm. it reminds you and stuff like that. So for that,
right. I had a Fitbit when I worked at BioLife.
Yeah.
So, Michael, how does a business owner know that they should switch, you know, from just individual coverage to that group coverage? Like, when is the appropriate time to maybe explore that?
It's any time. The great thing about it, group coverage, is it's your renewal time. So you can do it at any time. It's completely built on that kind of thing. So I talked this last couple of weeks. I've been talking about, just have a conversation with me, and I can quote it right there on the spot because I've got a technology program that just lets you see what the base rates would be and whether or not it's worth your time.
Right.
So I just actually met with somebody on Friday who does a maid service. And so he has 4 employees, so he's looking at what would be for him. Mm-hmm. So when I quoted him, because they're all, oh my gosh, they're all under 26 because they're doing maid work. And so that rate was $269 employee. So wow. He was like, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
What's the next steps? So at that point, I'm like, well, we got to do a questionnaire that says, sorry, do you have any cancer, heart, things like that that we don't know about that we're going to walk into? And if that's not, if we had got no's, then we're good. We write it. And then we do, I also do A to Z process because y'all heard my background, so I know what the carrier wants and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I do all the communication pieces. I take it completely out of the business owner's, you know, purview. They have things that they need to concentrate on their businesses and things like that. So I take that completely off their plate because of my carrier background. I tell them you can give my ID, my card out, and so if they're in the emergency room, they're going to the doctor, they can call me rather than trying to call the 800 number, because the biggest problem that we have now in my industry is doctors and my industry insurance are both not doing a really good job on customer service.
Right.
So you have to navigate it yourself, which nobody wants to do unless you've done it for like as long as I have. Because even my wife, who's the smartest person, you get an EOB in front of her and she becomes a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I have to navigate that. But she, on the other side, she does loan businesses, so I can't understand that stuff.
Right.
So it's whether or not what you do. So at that point, I tell people, have an advisor. Like you were talking about what y'all do. I would not try to do what y'all do as far as LinkedIn. I would not try to do a podcast because I'm like, I don't do that. Mm-hmm. It would be awful.
We're not sure we do this either. We just hit record one day and kept doing it.
It's a fun project.
Yeah.
But
it
you
breaks
know,
it up.
You figure out what you do well. Like everybody, there's a lot of people that have a health and life license. If you ask me about life insurance, I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna because I don't want to do life insurance. Don't like it. Don't enjoy it. Enjoy about learning about it. You're talking about CEs. I have to learn that mm-hmm. for my CEs. I have to learn annuities for my CEs. And by the end of that process, I want to shoot my
right.
head off.
Mm-hmm. So that's rough.
Is there like a minimum amount of employees that companies have to have? Because I know, like, so for my last job before I started working with Alex, we were an office of 5 people. Then it knocked down to 4 people. And my old boss always gave the excuse, like, oh, there's not enough employees, so we can't do it.
That's an illusion.
So I went 2 years.
That's what everybody says. Yeah, I don't. And it's because people just don't know.
Yeah, UnitedHealthcare has gone down to less than 5. They've gotten really stringent on their participation. So they want like 3 out of 4 or something like that. Aetna will go down to 2 out of 4. So it's just a question of having an agent that knows what's going on in the market,
right?
Rather than hearing what the media or the government say about it. And so that's why I love to have conversations.
Yeah, that's good to know, because a lot of businesses don't carry insurance for their employees because they're like, oh, we don't have enough employees.
We should get a quote. Yeah.
100%.
It's expensive.
And there's also things that you can do that...
get it cheaper.
Well, and there's things you can do...
They don't like cheaper. They like more affordable.
Well, I'll tell you a joke about affordability in a second. But there's also things you can do that make it legal. Like, there are people that... Business owners that say, okay, we can't do that, so I'll give you $300 toward your...
Right.
Your salary. Well, that's illegal in Obamacare. So I tell companies, so I'll tell them, like, as long as you don't say it's specifically for medical insurance, you can give her $300 increased salary. Or you can run it through, there was a thing called an individual health reimbursement account that was passed actually by President Trump right before right before COVID. And it basically allows you to do pre-tax deductions toward insurance for people to go find their employee. Like you mentioned, Julie Sears, you could go find insurance through her using $300 from your company. If you use it, fantastic. If you don't, it goes back to the company, and the company's not out that money.
Mm-hmm.
So there are vehicles like that that I also use for companies. But my joke on affordability, so I've been in the business long enough for Obamacare.
I haven't heard the punchline. I'm already laughing.
So the affordability situation. So Obamacare, they say the IRS will audit. I've never seen an audit in my life. So I do a form that says, here are your payroll deductions for every employee. And they say, yes, I take that, I take this, because at that point you get to authorize the payroll deductions. Well, I do a waiver reason, and I say, select one, spousal coverage, parent coverage if you're under 26, not affordable. So there are a lot of people in the first years of Obamacare saying, not affordable, not affordable, not affordable, not affordable. And so the IRS comes back, love them, they're crazy stupid people. they came back and said, how can you say it's not affordable? It's the Affordable Care Act. And we're all like, as the agent community, we're like, because it's still not affordable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the stupid thing. Right. They don't understand it because they are a government entity and they're too far removed from the day-to-day operations to know what's affordable.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Well, I definitely see a tremendous amount of value. And I think what I love most about just hearing what you offer is a lot of people are in a similar same boat. Like the Tyler Cliftons of the world. They offer great product, great service, but getting it out to their customer or their prospect or the people who need to hear it is somewhat of a challenge. What has been, in your experience, the recipe for success in getting your business pushed forward and getting into where you are now as a professional?
Networking. So I do a lot of networking.
So would you say it works?
Yes, I would say it works. It does work.
Hot take, it works.
Yes, it does work. So actually, I was with a company. The reason why I became my own business owner is because I was with a company out of Austin during COVID. And I was basically advising them on benefits, and that I was the only sales rep up here in Dallas. So they're like, you need to close some of these larger deals. And we're talking about larger deals, like 1,000 employees.
Right.
And my mentors were like, well, Mike's doing what he's supposed to do. He's in the door. It's just, that takes it's a long play. And they were like, well, we need more return. And we're like, well, there's COVID. It's not going to happen for another year, maybe two. And they're like, no, we need to restructure. We're going to make you no salary and that kind of thing. Well, the week that started happening, which was in November of that year, they were telling me all this and said they want to make me completely commission and all this stuff, and they want to take my advice still. And I'm like, so you want my advice, but you don't, you're going to give me a split of a split on my commissions. I'm like, no. How about if I do my own business and I get all the commissions?
Mm-hmm.
So that month, I knew something was about to pop. I just didn't know. I'd been 2 years in networking. I had not gotten anything off of Chambers, individual or independent groups or master networks at that point. The last week of November, I started getting hits on networking, prospects coming in left and right from all of those entities, because I had done my time for 2 years where people are like, I trust him. He knows what he's doing. He's in the industry. And so from that point forward, I have not gone a week at all without not having at least a prospect to close. Right. And sometimes 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. So now if I do my job as far as closing prospects and doing my system that I've put in place as far as getting somebody from prospect to interested to closing, then that's how I continue to grow my business.
Yep. I love Master Networks. It's just been great. And I've done a lot of networking prior, but not like this. So I think we've all have experiences of, like, we've tried the BNI, we've tried networking after work. Oh, have you ever tried that one? That one's a lot of fun, actually. Do you remember those guys? It was called Network After Work. Anyway, it doesn't matter. There's thousands of networking groups. In fact, we're going to one here. Just play along.
Thursday.
Thursday. I'm like, who's going? You're going. Yeah, we're going.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know that I'm okay.
That one is, what was that one called? It's at the W. So if you have no plans, it's at the W. It's supposed to be a lot of fun.
You do have to register.
I think it's free or $12 or something.
No, it's free, but you can upgrade like for drink packages and stuff like that. So, but it's at the W downtown. And
always sign me up for the drink package.
Okay, that's not what you said. So,
did you ask me?
I did.
He said I changed my mind. Yep.
I think we might be able to upgrade when
let's
we get there.
Do it.
Let's see. It honestly, is for though, Dallas. I can't talk. Dallas Millennials Professional Networking, yep, After Dark.
That'd be fun.
I found it on Facebook.
Anyone can go. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah.
Say I'm not a millennial.
It doesn't matter.
I'm also technically not a millennial.
It doesn't matter. No, you know you're not.
You? I am not.
She's not. She's the next gen.
Yeah, I'm a Gen Xer, yep, but I group myself in with the millennials. Millennials end in 1996. I was born 6 months later, okay?
Yeah.
I'm an 87, baby.
84. I'd rather be a millennial.
I don't know. They're not as, they're still broke.
Yeah, but Gen Xers are weird. My generation are weird. Like, my youngest brother, he is a true Gen Xer, and he's 11 years younger than me, okay? Don't group me in with those kids.
Those kids.
That's hilarious. Well, Michael, tell us how to get in touch with you or find you at a local chapter near us.
Well, right now I'm actually trying to figure out which chapter I'm going to continue to go to. I was in Rockwall, but I'm not happy out there, so I've been visiting different chapters to try to find a different place.
Highland Village, Tuesday mornings, 9:30, awesome times.
It's the tater tot capital of the world.
I'm gonna visit the Allen one tomorrow at Lupe's. I've been invited to that one, which I've heard that's one's growing.
Yeah.
You should check out Shark Club on Thursday mornings at 9:30.
I have a big group on Thursday mornings that's an independent group that's like 90 people.
Ooh. That's a lot.
Yep.
It's not McKinney, is it? Yeah, I need to make it out there. I've been invited a couple of
that
times.
That sounds fire.
Ali sent me to that one, and Julie Sears invited me to that one.
Nice. You should go this Thursday.
I'm probably going to go this Thursday.
Yeah.
Website, phone number, all the above?
Website is mdinsurance.biz. Phone number is 903-452-8329. Longview number, all the way back.
Nice. Michael, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
We'll see you next time. Stood their ground.